Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 35. If you'd like to follow it in the Pew Bibles, it's on page 1064. John 1, 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph."
"Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked.
"Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good evening, everyone.
Evening.
Great to be with you. I don't know why there's a conker on here. Anybody know why there's a conqueror? Conquering king. Oh, dear. Well, it's great to be with you. And just to add my welcome to Victoria's, and especially if you're a visitor here, it's lovely to have you with us this evening. Keep your Bibles open if you've got them at John 1. That'd be helpful as we look at this together. But let me just begin with a word of prayer. Let me pray. God our Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that your word helps us to come and see who Jesus is. And we pray now that by your Spirit you'll open our eyes to see and to marvel at who he is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. These might be some phrases that you have heard. Spiritual, but not religious. Interested, but not interested in church. I wonder if you've heard those kind of phrases yourself with the people you've met and from day to day. Maybe you even have said those yourself. The story we've just been reading gives us an encounter, doesn't it? And this encounter is not some sort of vague spirituality on one hand, and neither is it, on the other hand, an encounter with an institution or a building or something religious. It's not like either of those, in a sense. It's to do with a person, isn't it? With Jesus Christ. And in this encounter, we find a process that helps us in our searching. These accounts are not just given to us here by John because they happened, and of course we believe they did happen, but John is actually being selective here, selective in what he wants to tell us, because there's a pattern here he wants us to see and to follow. And the key to this pattern here is the repeated phrase that you get here, come and see, come and see. You see it there in verse 38 and again in verse 46. But what does it mean to come and see? Well, first of all, hopefully there'll be some slides appearing. First of all, come and see means think. It means think. It means examine the evidence, doesn't it? It's fascinating that when Jesus encounters people, he doesn't just demand somehow that they believe like that without engaging the mind. Instead, he invites people in, doesn't he? Come and see. See if the evidence stacks up. Come and look at me. See whether I stack up. And when Philip goes to Nathanael and says in verse 45, we found the one Moses and the prophets wrote about, the Messiah, the King, Nathanael simply replies, Nazareth. I thought it was beautiful the way that you read it, so sarcastically as well. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? And you see what Nathanael is doing here. He's thinking. And that's extremely important and a valid question of what he's doing. Everybody knew the king was supposed to be from Bethlehem, and Nazareth is a right question. And he replies, doesn't he, Philip, come and see for yourself. Come and find out. Let's investigate together. Let's think. Now, our questions here this evening might not be Nathanael's question, but I think we all have questions, don't we? About faith, about what it means. Can I believe in this? Can this bit be true? We all have questions, like Nathanael. And the way that we deal with them is to think. We need to think them through. So the invitation to come and see is to use our brains, is to think. Don't need to leave our brains outside. We need to come and think. Read the accounts of Jesus in a sustained way and find out the answers that you need. They are there. Come and see means think. But secondly, come and see means follow. Hopefully the second one will appear. Follow. Oh. When Philip says the word come, it implies movement, doesn't it? It means go from there to there. There's movement involved in the word come. It's the movement of following, of change. It's not just an intellectual belief. Oh, now I see, and oh, let's see what's for dinner now. You know, it's sort of like it doesn't seem to matter. It has to then affect your action. It has to move you in some direction. Verse 43. So the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. And finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Follow me. Now, the idea of following someone has taken on a new meaning, hasn't it, in social media? You know, Twitter, you have followers, don't you? I wonder, do you know who the most followed person is on Twitter? Katy Perry. It was Katy Perry. It's not the answer I've got. I Googled it. Google's always right, isn't it? Well, according to Google, the time I looked at it, it was Justin Bieber. Who's heard of Justin Bieber? Who is he? 42 million followers. 42 million followers. But how many of those 42 million are actually personal, in a personal, intimate relationship with Justin Bieber. They probably all want to be, but they're not, are they? I mean, you could probably get all his stuff and all his singles, engage with him intellectually if he's on that level. That's terribly cruel, isn't it? And maybe meet him, and maybe you get to meet him one day and shake his hand and maybe even give him an embrace. But imagine, though, instead of just meeting him in that sort of way and intellectually engaging with him, instead you married Justin Bieber. Well, that's maybe a bit weird, isn't it? But imagine you married Justin Bieber. You would agree that now your following has changed, isn't it? It's it's a degree different, isn't it, when you've in that kind of relationship with somebody. You see the difference here. You've moved from believing to following, real following. You see there's a big difference between saying, I like Jesus, and I ascribe to his tweets and messages and become a personal follower, somebody who's intimately related to Jesus Christ. There's a big difference, isn't there? But how do you end up following Jesus in this kind of way? I think verse 51 is very interesting, and it's just the first few words of it. It says, I tell you the truth. Now, in the original language, it's just that the words amen, amen. It's where we get amen from. I truly believe, or I tell you the truth, truly, truly, sometimes translated. And when we say amen after a prayer, we're saying we agree with that. We're assenting to that. We recognize that as truthful. But Jesus here starts a statement by saying amen, amen, which is completely the opposite way around to what we would do, isn't it? He starts a statement, amen, amen. And what he's doing here is he's taking away yours and my right to decide whether we agree or not with this statement. It's irrelevant what you think, in a sense, but he's just saying it's true. In a sense, it makes sense, doesn't it? Jesus is saying it is true. I tell you what I say is true. And you can't follow me unless you accept that fact, really. If you want to follow Jesus, if you want to know him personally, in an intimate, relational way, you've got to be willing to let him be in charge of you. Willing to listen to what he says, whether you like it or not. That's quite hard, isn't it? It's quite a challenge to us. You may say, Eddie, that's just too rigid, too dogmatic. But you see, you can't have a personal relationship with that Jesus, with Jesus like that, without that kind of response. If you say, I like this bit, that he says, but I hate this bit, what kind of Jesus do you have? You have a Jesus of your own creation, don't you? Of your own making. If you have a relationship with someone that can never contradict you, never say difficult things to you, never challenge you, is that a personal relationship? It's not really, is it? You see, you're to wrestle with the bits we find difficult, otherwise you'll never have that personal relationship with Jesus and you can't follow him truly. So, there we are. Secondly, come and see means to follow. First, it means to come and think. Then it means to come and follow. Follow in a radical way. And then thirdly, it means to do it with friends. I found a picture of you all, or some of you. With friends. So you want to do all this thinking, all this following with others. You see that, don't you, in the text when Philip says to Nathanael, come and see, he's inviting him to do it, to go with him together, to do it with somebody else. To know Jesus, you need a whole bunch of other people around you to help you and equip you to really know who Jesus is. You need a community, you need a church. If you're with a friend, you're able to process what you're seeing and hearing. And without it, you find it actually really hard to make sense of what's going on. If you're here this evening on your own, you will need to connect in with other friends, people here to help you apply what you see and hear. Philip says to Nathanael, "We found the king, the Messiah." To Nathanael, this sounds probably bizarre and ridiculous. And so many things that we hear initially about Christianity may sound bizarre and ridiculous also. May appear first like that. We have loads of questions. We just think some of it's a bit odd. And the only way to process all that, to get your head around it, is to do it with others, to do it in community with other Christians. And so be really practical about that. It means we need to find small groups, don't we? And if you're not part of some small group in the church, I really encourage you to find that and link in with others, because that's how we come and see. We do it with others. Fourthly, come and see means come and marvel. Come and marvel. Come and be amazed. Be amazed in awe and wonder. What do I mean by this? Well, many years ago, it seemed like I was trying to count up. Many years ago, I went to see the very first Lord of the Rings film in Manchester when it first came out. It was the first day, the premiere of The Lord of the Rings. It was just so exciting. Maybe not for everybody else. And I went with a friend, and we got the tickets. And I remember afterwards coming back to the halls of residence where I was living, and I was trying really hard to explain to the people around me how brilliant this was. And it was just impossible to really convey just how amazing and how wonderful this film was. Have you had that kind of experience? You get that kind of experience where you just can't seem to explain it, and they don't get it, and they go, "Oh, right, okay, that's brilliant, thanks." You've all had that kind of experience. And of course, where do you finish up? You finish up by saying, don't you, you have to see it for yourself. You just have to go and see it for yourself. And that's what Philip is saying to Nathanael here, isn't it? That's what he's saying here. Look, you've got to come and see Jesus. I can tell you about it, but you're not going to get it until you actually see it for yourself. It's just beyond your imagination. It's beyond my imagination to describe it to you. It's glorious. It's beyond your wildest dreams and hopes. And Jesus says to Nathanael in verse 50, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see even greater things than that." And so Jesus' invitation comes to us to say, come and marvel, come and wonder at the greater things that you will see. That's the invitation, to stand in wonder and awe. "I'm calling you," he says, "into a relationship that will so amaze you, will so blow your mind and blow your imagination." I wonder if you've ever had that experience with someone who, you know, you're having a conversation with them and they just seem to get you. Have you ever had that sort of experience, maybe with a friend or a mentor or a teacher, somebody like that? And it's so precious and so sort of valuable, because you're faced by someone who, for the first time, perhaps really, really gets you and understands you in a way that nobody else has. And they sort of figure you out. And in a sense, we're all searching to be understood, aren't we? We're all searching to be figured out. You know, we go through those things in our mind. Why do I do the things I do? Why do I think things? Who am I anyway? We all have those moments. And when you find someone like this, you're kind of amazed that they should think so deeply about you and take the time to understand and consider it and to ponder it. They kind of bring you new information about yourself. But of course, as we know, even with a friend or somebody like this, there is a limit how far that can go. But Nathanael here walks up to Jesus, who says to him something that really, really penetrates him and really penetrates his heart. He says in verse 47, "Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false." There's no deceit, in other words. And Nathanael replies in verse 40, "How do you know me? How do you know me?" he says. He's basically saying, "You've got me, haven't you? You've really understood me, Jesus, haven't you? How did you know me? That is me you're talking about." And Jesus says, "Know you, I saw you while you were under the fig tree before Philip called you." You can imagine Nathanael standing there, jaw opening. Wow, how did he know? His eyes popping out, saying in verse 49, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. How could you know me? You just know me." Nathanael stands and he just kind of marvels at Jesus. And there's never been a person like this. He's what we all want and what we're all longing for. If we really want to be understood, we've got to come and marvel at Jesus, the one who really knows us inside out. Do you know what it means to be a Christian this evening? It may sound like a really simple question, that. Do you know what it means to be a Christian this evening? Yes, it is about self-discovery, but there's much more, isn't there? It's about an upward journey. This is where I want to finish this evening. An upward journey. Verse 51 tells us, "I tell you the truth," that phrase again, "truly, truly, I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open," he's speaking to Nathanael, "and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." That's a phrase to describe Jesus. But what does that mean? Well, in the Old Testament, in the first part of the Bible, there was a man called Jacob who had an incredible dream of a ladder with angels ascending and descending. You might have heard of that story. And he knew angels came from the very presence of God, where God was. And this dream was about an opening between heaven and earth, between two worlds, between heaven and earth, a world as it should be and a world that we experience. And this ladder was in a sense the very presence of God. And for Jacob, this dream was a gateway to heaven. Jesus Christ now shows up thousands of years later and says to Nathanael something truly amazing. It's really, truly amazing. He's saying in this verse, "I am the gateway of heaven that Jacob saw." I am it. I am the gateway that Jacob saw. It wasn't just a dream, but it was a promise. "And I am the way through to that place," he says. And Jesus tells Nathanael, "You know, you haven't seen anything yet. I've told you where you were under the fig tree, but you haven't seen anything yet. I'm going to open up this gateway to heaven, and you're going to see it. You're going to see even greater things and marvelous and wonderful things." Yes, you come and you see, you think, you follow, you do it with friends, but the key to getting in isn't you don't do anything. Isn't it? That's the truth of the gospel, is that you don't do anything. It doesn't say here, Jesus is at the top of the ladder and the angels are descending and ascending to the Son of Man, Jesus. No, he's not saying if you try harder, you can ascend to heaven. The truth is that no one can ascend to heaven. No one is clean enough to stand in the presence of God. As our confession was reminding us, we're all sinful and fall short of God's standards. So how are we going to ascend? How are we going to ascend to this place? And Jesus doesn't say, you see here, the angels ascend and descend to the Son of Man. But he says, on the Son of Man. That's really important. It's on the Son of Man. And through that phrase, he's saying, I'm the ladder. I'm the ladder to heaven. I live the life you should have lived. I died the death you should have died. Trust in me, and if you do that, you get in and you will see heaven. You will see even greater things, wonderful things. You can come and marvel at what Jesus has done for you by dying on the cross, so you could have that eternal life, so you could have that path to heaven. Come and see. Come and see. There you have it. Will we come and see? Will we take up that invitation to think, to follow, to do it with friends, to do it with each other? And will we marvel at what we find? Will we truly see the greater things that Jesus has done through his death and through his resurrection for each one of us? Let me pray. Father God, we come before you recognizing that the invitation to come and see isn't just an intellectual exercise, but you do call us to use our brains, to ask questions. And we thank you that we can do that, and we can ask, and that we can find, and that you call us to follow. Father, would we be open to what Jesus says to us? Would we be ready to do it with others, to seek fellowship, to seek answers with other people? But most of all, Father, would you help us to marvel and to wonder at all that you've done through Jesus Christ, through his death, the one who is the ladder on which the pathway to heaven is made possible. May we just marvel at what he has done. In Jesus' name we pray.